Today's shiur is a Masechta Menachos on Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin with the new Perek and Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us start with a brief Hagdama. In the Gemara, we are going to learn from various psukim that regular Menachos have to be made from matzahs, and they're not allowed to be made from chametz. And besides that, we find a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Beis pasuk Yud Aleph Ki Chol Seor V'Chol Dvash Lo Yisaktir Bimenu Ishei L'Hashem, that any leavened bread or dvash, the may peiros that come out of honey that comes out of peiros, should not be brought as a korban to Hashem. So therefore, in general, the rule is that chametz is not supposed to be brought as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two exceptions which our Mishnah enumerates, and they are the chalois for the lachmei toida. There were 40 chalois, and 10 of them had to be made from chametz. As the pasuk says, which Rashi brings down, al chalois lechem chametz. And the other exception are the shtei halechem, and there, likewise, the Torah says, chametz teofena, that they should be baked from chametz. Let us begin the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachos bois matzah. All menachos come from matzah. Chutz mi chametz shebetoyde. Except for the chametz, those 10 breads of the 40 in the korban toyde, u'shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem that are brought on Shavuos, shehein bois chametz. Because there the Torah beferish tells us to bring it from chametz. Now, in the top Tosfos of this Perek, Divrei HaMaskil Kol HaMenachos, so Tosfos is medayik from our Mishnah that the 10 lachmei toida of chametz are considered a mincha. Likewise, the shtei alechem are considered a mincha, because that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. All the menachos are brought for matzah, except with the exception of two menachos, the lachmei toida and the shtei alechem. And on this, Tosfos says, the bish shloimer shtei alechem, we understand that that's considered menachos because we find that that is called a mincha, as we found before in Perek HaTchelis, daf mem zayin mebeis, that is, the shtei alechem are referred to as mincha chadasha. But says Tosfos, by toida le'ashkam, we don't find such a thing. And in fact, the Masoreis Hashas brings down that we, in Ois Nun, that before in Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, Abaye comes to the Maskana that Lachmei Toida are not called a Mincha. If so, why are they included in the Mishnah? The Mishnah should have just said, Kol HaMenachos Bois Matzah, Chutz Mishtei Alechem. But Lachmei Toida are not considered a Mincha, so why are they included in our Mishnah? So Tosfos answers, the last words of this Tosfos, Mikol Mokam Nichol Hashmin and Dina, Einachanami, the Lachmei Toida do not have a din of a mincha, but since we're speaking about karbonis that are brought from chametz, that's why the Mishnah included the Lachmei Toida as well. The Rajba gives a different teretz, and the Rajba says that since there are many halachas of the Lachmei Toida which are learnt out from Shtei Halachim, and Shtei Halachim, as we saw, is called mincha chadasha, that it is referred to as a mincha. So since lachmei toida are learnt in many halachas from the shtei alechem, we include the lachmei toida in this Mishnah, which speaks about menachos, even though the lachmei toida per se are not really menachos. Continues the Mishnah. We're going to now have a machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are trying to resolve a problem with the isaron that was used for the shtei halachem or the lachmei toida in making them into chametz. And the problem is exactly how do we make it into chametz? One issue is that the isorin that is used has to be precisely an isorin of kemach, of flour, not more and not less. If it's more or less, it's possible. So that's one variable that we have to work with. The other is that if we're going to use a leavening agent to make these lachmei toida of chametz, or the shtei alechem of chametz, it has to be nischametz, it has to become leaven, in an appropriate way, that it takes hold, the leavening process takes hold evenly, uniformly, and correctly. And the question is how to do it. Now, we would say, one etza is, let's not even use any sourdough to create the chimetz. Let's just leave kemach with water together, and eventually it will become nischametz. That does not seem to be an etza, because A, we're dealing about a big amount of dough, and it won't properly become chametz. That's another one of the variables that we have to deal with. Or the Tiferes Yisrael wants to suggest that since we're doing the lisha, we're going to be kneading the flour with the water and making the dough in a klisharis, it becomes the Scottish in the klisharis, and if it stays there more than 24 hours, it has a din of lina. And if it's going to be there less than 24 hours, it won't have enough time to properly become nischametz. So it's not an eitzah to leave it water and flour, just leaving it by itself. We have to introduce some agent that is going to be mechametz this dough. So Rav Meir's eitzah is that we measure out an isorin of flour. We take a part of that flour, not the whole flour, but a part of it, and remove it from the rest of the isorin. We mix it with water, and then we put it back into the rest of the isorin. So we have not increased or decreased the isorin. We still have the same isorin. And now this part of the isorin, which is mixed with water together, that will become nischametz, and that in turn will be mechametz the rest of the dough. So we'll have our proper measurement, and we'll have chimetz. On this, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not giving it enough time, the initial amount that you're removing from the yisorin, you're not giving it enough time to become chametz. You're putting it right back into the rest of the yisorin. It's not going to do the job of properly being mechametz the entire yisorin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Meir's eitz is not an eitz. What does Rabbi Yehuda suggest? He says that you take a piece of sourdough, which you know 100% has been properly turned into chametz. You put that into the klisharis, and around that, whatever that amount is, around it you build up with more kemach until you get your proper measure of isorin, and now you have everything. You have the correct amount. It's not too big or too small. You have exactly an isorin. And since you started off with agent that was 100% nischametz, that in turn will properly be mechametz the entire isorin. On that, Rav Meir, the Chacham say back to Rav Yehuda that there's also a problem with what you're doing. Why? Because since you're not taking the sourdough from the original isorin, as Rav Meir suggests, therefore it's going to have a different consistency of mixture with water than the rest of the isorin. Either it's going to be too much water, it's going to be too little water. Now, if it's too little water, what happens is that the sourdough shrinks and it has a lot of flour in it, but the flour has not been able to get puffed up. It's going to be very dense, and you're going to have to add a lot of flour. And in the end, you'll have too much flour. You'll have more than an isorin of flour. The opposite, if it's going to have too much water, so then it's going to puff up a lot. You won't have a lot of flour in what is puffed up. You'll build it up to an isorin, but in reality, you'll have less than an isorin because you're building around the initial sourdough that is all puffed up with little dough in it because it had a lot of water. So either way, since you're dealing with a consistency that is different than the isorin, it's either going to be too much flour, it's going to be too little flour. Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered with this because Rabbi Yehuda says we don't look at the Isor in a flower, we look at the end result. When you have the flour, and you have the water, and you have the sourdough, and all together, when it's all kneaded together, it's an Isorin, that's what we measure. We don't measure the original kemach by itself, as Rav Meir sheet is. Rav Meir says you look at an Isorin of flour, and if you introduce sourdough, as we explained, it's going to be either too much flour or too little flour. Rav Yehuda says you look at the entire mixture, is it an Isorin? It's good. And since you're using a very good agent of chimutz, all our issues have been resolved according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Let us see now the mission inside. Rameir Oimer has sour, as far as the sourdough, how do you do it? Boide lohen, you remove mitoichon from the sard, umechamtson, and you let it become chometzdik, and you put it back into the rest of the sarong. That's Rav Meir Shita. Rav Yehuda Oimer, no, afiyena min amufchers. You haven't waited for the original piece of the Isorin that you've removed to become total chametz. You're putting it right back in with the rest of the Isorin. And ein echanami, it will become quicker chametz than the rest of the Isorin, but it's not going to become a complete chametz 100% as it's supposed to. So it's ein min amufcher. You're not doing it correctly. Ella, maybe SSR. First, you start off with bona fide sour, which you know is 100% a leavening agent. It was warmed up, as we'll see later, that warming up makes a good chemetz, or it was part of another chametz stick of batter, which was for sure chametz, so it becomes chametz. Whatever method you use, you know you're getting sour that's 100%. Has been made into a proper mechametz. And around that, v'noisnoi l'toi chamido memale chamido, you put it into the Isorin measurement, you build up kemach around that, and at the end, you have your Isorin. You have the right measurement according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you have the right agent that will do the correct job. Amru loy, so they said back, those who sided with Rav Meir said, no, your Eitz Rav Yehuda is not good, because Afhi hoisech haseira or yuseira, because since it has a different consistency of water, ratio of water to flour, it's not exactly the same as the isorin. So either, as we explained, it's going to have too little water, which will mean that it will have a lot of flour in it, it'll shrink, and then you'll be adding too much flour, or it'll have a lot of water in it, which will mean it will have too little flour when it puffs up, and it'll be missing flour. So you're either going to have too much flour, you're going to have too little flour, and therefore your method is not good. The Gemara on Daf and Gimel Amud Beis will ask, why, according to both Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, don't we have a Pashut Eitz? And that is, take sourdough and have the Isorin, take a piece of the Isorin and make sure that it becomes Chometz Gomer, put it, as Rashi on Nun Gimel Amud Beis tells us, b'mokim chamimus, in a hot place, or yitmenu b'isa mechumetzes, or stick it in, hide it in a dough, which is for sure Chometz thick, ad sheis Chometz yafa. The whole problem is you're doing it too quickly and putting it back into the Yisorin. Don't do it quickly. And then knead it together with the rest. So that will take care of all problems. Because now you don't have a strange sourdough. You have a sourdough that's a bona fide 100% sourdough, which is coming from the original Isorin with the same consistency. So that problem is not a problem of too much or too little dough. It's the same consistency. And on the other hand, you've made it into 100% bona fide agent of a leavening agent. So you'll solve all your problems. On that, the Gemara answers, no, it's Xera. Since the person who's looking at you bringing the sourdough back, he may have not seen that you took it from the original Isorin. He just sees you introducing sourdough to this Isorin. He'll think that you can always add sourdough to the Isorin, even though you'll be making it more than the Isorin. So because of that, Xer, it's not an Eitzah to bring from the Yisor and make it into proper sourdough and put it back. And therefore, we either have the Eitz of Reb Meir to not make it sourdough outside of the Yisorin. Put it back in, it'll become a chametz stick, which Rabbi Yehuda says is not going to make a good chametz. Or we have Rabbi Yehuda's Eitzah to take an outside sourdough, put it, start off with the sourdough, and around it build up the kemach until you get the correct Yisorin. We'll see more about this at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Begins the Gemara. Boy, minei Rav Preida Mirav Ami. The famous Rav Preida that we have in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, where he taught a Talmud 400 times, and we'll speak more about the story on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Preida is now going to ask two shilas in the next Amud concerning the halachas of Menachas, and also the Gemara is going to say an interesting story together with Rav Preida and Rav Ezra, or according to some Gerses, with Azaria. We'll see that on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. So let's see now the first shilah that Rav Preida asks. Boy, minei Rav Preida Rav Ami. He asked the following question from Rav Ami. Minayin l'chol ha-menachah shein bois matzah. How do we know that all the menachas have to come matzah with the exception of the ones written in our Mishnah? So Rav Ami said back to Rav Preida, minolon, you're asking from where? D'chsiv b'chsiv bo. By the two that it's written, as Rashi tells us, by the minchas mafeh, which is the baked mincha, or the minchas machvas, which is made in that low pan. So it's written there, beferish. The pasuk says that it has to be made from matzah. But the loiksivba, those menachas where it's not written beferish, but we have a klolyistik pasuk in Parshas Tzav that includes all the other menachas. The loiksivba, if it's not written beferish, ksivba, as we turn to the Afnun Gimel Amud Aleph, the pasuk says, Zois Tyrus HaMincha, this is the halacha of a mincha, Hakra Voisa B'nei Arnu L'fnei Hashem Al P'nei HaMizbech, V'anu Seres Rimenu, Yoichlu Arnu Banav, the leftover Arnu Banav should eat, Matzahs Te'achel, they should eat matzah. So we see this is Zois Tyrus HaMincha, this is the rule that applies to all menachas, and the end is, it has to be a matzah. So what's your question? It's a Beferish Apostle. Amar Lei, so Rav Preida said back to Rav Ami, you didn't understand my question. Mitzvah like come boilly. I know there's a mitzvah to do it. Ki come boilly la akev. My question was, is it ma'akev? Is it even b'dievet if I use chametz instead of matzahs? Am I not yoitzer? Or maybe l'chatchil you should use matzahs. B'dievet, use chametz, that's fine. Omar lei. So Rav Ami said, la akev na mixiv. I have a pasuk that it's ma'akev also, even b'dievet. The pasuk says, lo yisayf chametz. It says, don't bake chametz. And from that I can deduce, ela matzah. If you don't bake chametz, the only other thing that you can bake is matzah. So we have a second pasuk that teaches us the halacha of matzah. And now the Gemara is going to ask three questions on this limud of Rav Ami that loisayf chametz tells us that you should bake matzah. Maskel Rav Chisda, ve'ema loisayf chametz, ela siur. Perhaps the Torah is telling you, don't bake chametz, but you don't necessarily have to bake matzah. Maybe you could bake seer. What is seer? Seer is in between chametz and matzah. And really, we have a machlokes Masechta Pesachim. It's a Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim, as Rashi brings down on Daf Memches Amud Aleph, where we have a machlokes Remain Rabbi Yehuda, what is seer? And then we have a machlokes Remain Rabbi Yehuda, lishitasam. Whatever they consider that seer is, what is the einish for seer? Let's first see what the machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is before we get into the Gemara. Rav Meir's shita is that seer is, as Rashi brings down the second line, kol shehichsifu panav. If it is, if the face of the dough is not completely leavened bread, and the word hichsifu means it's pale. So that already means, according to Rav Meir, that it is not matzah. So according to Rav Yehuda, that's if it's just pale, that's matzah. That's not seer, that's matzah. What is seer according to Rav Yehuda? That's kikarnei chagovim. It has like the antennas of the locust. Well, in other words, that the dough begins to crack. When it begins to crack, that is Seir. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold about Rabbi Meir's Shita in Seir that we already said? That has a loch of matzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Meir hold about Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Seir when it has Karnei Chagovim? According to Rabbi Meir, that's Mamish Chometz. Now, the second machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Meir says, for my Seir, which is the pale dough, for that you don't get chorus if one would eat it on Pesach, but it is a lav. The person is over on a lav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, my seer, says Rabbi Yehuda, which is Karnei Chagavim, is mutter min ha-Torah, it's aser mid rabbanan. And now let us begin the Gemara. So the Gemara says, maskiv lo Rav Chisda ve'ema lo yisayif ha-chametz el ha-seer. So the Gemara asks, seer deman, which seer are you referring to? Eid Rab Meir le Rab Yehuda, if you're going to say the seer of Rab Meir according to the sheet of Rab Yehuda when it's pale. So we said that Rab Yehuda considers Rab Meir's pale matzah ma'al-yahi, a bona fide matzah. So you're asking me a question. Maybe the Torah is not telling you that you have to make menachas from matzah, only from seer, but according to Rab Yehuda, the Rab Meir's seer is gufa matzah. And now, eat Rab Yehuda, Rab Meir. If you're going to say it's the seer of Rab Yehuda, according to Rab Meir, as we said before, Rab Meir considers Rab Yehuda's seer chametz malyu. That's chametz. So what are you telling me? Loi soifa chametz. El a seer, but seer according to Rab Yehuda's karne chagovim, according to Rab Meir, is chametz. And that's what the Torah is telling you, loi soifa chametz. So you can't say el a seer, because that's what you're not supposed to bake. Eid Rab Meir, Rab Meir. So maybe you'll say, no, my kasha, the question that was Rav Chisda was asking is maybe when it says Oysayif v'chametz, it means Ela Seer according to Rab Meir. But according to Rab Meir, his seer, which is a pale dough, one receives Malkus for that. So mid the lucky olech chametzu, since you get malchus, and Echanami doesn't get chorus, but it must be considered a type of chametz. Otherwise, why, according to Rav Meir, we said that his sheet is there's an oinish of malchus. So it must be considered a form of chametz. So if so, if it's chametz, that you're not allowed to bake it. So that's included in loisayfa chametz. You cannot say ela seer, because according to Rav Meir, that's a type of chametz which you don't get chorus for, but you get a lav. So that can't be what the Torah is allowing you to bake. That's included in the isser of loisayfa chametz. Ela, you know what the Rav Chisda's question is? The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. The seer of Rabbi Yehuda, which is karnei chagavim, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter min ha-Torah, asr rabbanan. So now comes Rabbi Chisda's question, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer on this question. The question is, who told you loisayif v'chametz means? Eli, you have to make it matzah. According to Rabbi Chisda, maybe it means loisayif v'chametz, but what you can do is something that's between chametz and matzah. It's not fully matzah, but nor is it chametz, because midarais, it's mutter. It's only midarabbanan that's asr, if it's karnei chagavim. So maybe that's the midarais, the Torah is telling you that you should make it into seer. How do you know? How do you say that's ma'akev? I have a second pasuk that teaches you that the menachos have to be made for matzah. Maybe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it could be made out of seer. Now we come to a second question. Maskev lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ve'eim lo yisayif v'chametz ela chaloit. Maybe you should use, Rashi explains, with boiling hot water. Boiling hot water, it's impossible, even if it stays the same amount of time that flour with water normally becomes chametz. If it's if you use boiling hot water in the process, it will never become chametz. So maybe the Torah is telling you, don't bake chametz, use boiling hot water, but not that you're using matzah. So the Gemara says, chalut, my niu, what is chalut? That's revicha. That's what we call revicha. So the Gemara says, e de ik revicha, if you're talking about such a mincha which has a chiyuv to make a revicha, so ksivba revicha, it says revicha. What would that be? That would be, which we find by minchas chavitin of a kohen gadol that he brings every day. And also, by the minchas chinuch of a kohen, the first day that he does the avoida, it says in the Torah, murbeches tevieno. He has to bring it with scalded and boiling water, boiling hot water. So it says revicha there. So you can't tell me when the Torah says, don't bake chametz. It means, but bake a cholud, bake revicha, because by those two menachas, the Torah says it beferish. And now, if we look in the Shita in Ois Beis, the gears of the Shita is, e de lesser revucha, ha leiksiv ba revucha. And if the Torah did not say by any other mincha, murbeches to Vienna, the halaiksev bar revicha. So it doesn't say revicha. If it doesn't say revicha, the Gemara understands that it's an iser to make revicha. So how can you tell me loisaychametz ela cholot? And cholot means revicha by the ones where the Torah didn't tell you murbeches to Vienna. In fact, it's usher to make revicha. So what's your question? So the Gemara says no. Ve'ema deksiv bar revicha mitzvah revicha. The ones that it says by the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol and the minchas chinuch of a regular kohen where it says revicha, there it's a mitzvah. Where it doesn't say revicha, iboy revicha laisi. If he wants, it's up to him, it's a choice. If he wants to bring a revicha, he could. Iboy matzah laisi. If he wants to bring matzah, he could bring. Maybe this Torah is telling you loisai for chametz. But what? But if you want, you could bring a revicha. Now, Tosis in the bottom line tells us that even the Gemara at the end is going to say it's ma'akiv that you have to bring matzah and you're not allowed to bring chametz. But even at this point in the Gemara doesn't mean to say that revicha is equal to regular matzah. Of course, the mitzvah l'chatchila is to bring regular matzah. The Gemara is just saying that l'maisa, he could be yoytze b'dyeved with either one. Maybe the Torah is telling you, don't bring chametz. The best, of course, preferable is matzah, but b'dyeved, second best would be revicha, who says it's usher. So you still don't have a riot at the Torah is telling you bedafka that you have to bring matzah li'ikuva. Maybe you're also yaitzu with something else, with revicha. And now we have a third kasha. Maskul ravina ve'ema loisei fechavetz l'mekim gavra b'lav b'yama. Maybe the Torah is just telling you that there's a lav to bake chametz. But ve'ifsula le'mifsula. But if in fact he brought it as chametz, it wouldn't be possible. You could bring it. He would be over a lav, but it wouldn't possible the korban. So we have three questions from Seer, from Cholut, and from this last question that maybe it's not possible, maybe it's just to give the Gavra a lav. Ella minolon, so we can't use this drush of leisoyfe chametz, ella matzah, because of the questions that we have. Ella minolon, how do you know it's ma'akav? You have to bring matzah? The kiddushani, like we learned in the Braisa, it says matzah. Yocho mitzvah. I would think that matzah is only mitzvah beyond, it's not ma'akav. Talmud loimer tiye. The pasuk says that it has to be, the pasuk in Vayikra tells us matzah tiye. That it has to be matzah hakosav kova chayva. When the pasuk says tia, tia means that this is the way it must be. Boy, minei Rav Preda. Now comes the second question that Rav Preda had in Menachas. Meravami, he asked from Meravami, minayin l'chol menachas shnei loshim paishrin. How do you know that all the menachas are kneaded with lukewarm water? And then umishamron, there is a mitzvah for the person to guard them, shloyach mitzvah, they shouldn't become chametzdik. Which Rashi explains, what does shimmer mean in Rashi? Devir maschel, sheni loishes poishin. Rashi explains that Rav Preda's question is based on a Mishnah further on Daf Nun Hey, where the Mishnah states this halacha, that kol ha-menachas niloishes b'poishin, u'mesharmen shloyach mitzvah. So how do you know that once you added this lukewarm water, there's a mitzvah to be mishamer them, that they shouldn't become chametz? And what does it mean to be mishamer them? It doesn't mean just to look at them to see if they became chametzik. But Rashi says the definition of shimmer is, hainu sheyasek bebetzek kol shah You should work with it. You have to do avoda with, you have to work with the dough at all times so that it shouldn't turn into chametz. How do you know that there's such halacha? So the Mefarshim speak out that Rav Prade is not asking from Ami, how do you know that you have to use water? On that, we have a Tosis further at the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin and Aleph, Divya Maschal, Minchas Nesachim, that Tosis says, Vizel Ashoinai, Vishar Menachas Yadua, the Megablam B'mayin. By regular menachas, you have to use water to knead the flour and make the dough. The shamnan, even though they have oil, muet, it's only a little bit. Ube inyan zeh, yefshel gabel. If you're just going to use the oil, you're not going to be able to knead it into the proper dough. So that wasn't Rav Prade's question. Of course, you need water in order to form the dough. And you need lukewarm water, which hastens the process of chemetz, that the Mefarshim understand, that's also included. Because since there's a mitzvah shimmer, how do I get to a mitzvah shimmer? I use lukewarm water, which will hasten the process, and the only way I can stop it then, after I introduce the lukewarm water, is if I work with the dough and I'm a shamer in that way. So my ikker question is, how do I know I need shimmer to work with it? Once I know I have to work with it, so obviously I have to put in water, otherwise I can't make a dough at all, and I need lukewarm water in order to make sure that I'm going to have to work with it so that it doesn't become chametz. But how do I know that? So he said, "Lamna mi Pesach." We're going to learn out from Pesach. Let's say we shmartem as matzahs. We see when you make matzahs for Pesach, you need shmira. So the same thing by menachas. You need, whenever you need matzahs, you need shmira. You have to work with the dough. Omar lei. So Rav Prade thought that this is the source, but Rav Ami said back to him, "No, but gufiksev. You don't need a from Pesach." From matzahs on Pesach, it says by menachas, matzah tiyeh. You know what the word tiyeh means? Hachayeho. Make it alive. Make it remain the way it is. Watch it carefully that it stays, not chametz stick, that it remains matzah. So ask the Gemara, but you just used the word tiyeh to tell me that matzahs are ma'akev by menachas. V'ho afik de la'akev. So the Gemara answers, no. Im came licht of kra matzahi. Just Rashi brings down, just like we find by chatas hi, that the word hi itself is ma'akev. I don't need the word tia. So if you're using the word tia, my tia shamet minatart, we see both. So we know that a hey and a ches are nischalef. When you make a drasha, so even though the word is with a hey, tia, I can learn it with a ches, hachayeyu, make sure that it remains in the state that it is now, that it stays alive the same way that it is now. And since it could have said he, and it said tia, so I learn out both halachas. I learn out the din of ma'akev, and I also learn out that I have to do shimmer to, that it remains in the same state. And now that we finish the two shilas of Rav Prade, we come to the story of Rav Prade. Amrulei Rabban Rav Prade. Rabbanan said to Rav Prade, Rabbi Ezra, Rav Ezra, or others have the Girsa Azariah, and the Ben Yoyada says it makes more sense to say Azariah, because Rabbi, if his name was Rabbi Ezra, that would have given away that he's a Talmud Chacham. As we're going to see now in the ensuing Gemara, the Gemara didn't know whether he's a Talmud Chacham. Rav Prade didn't know if he's a Talmud Chacham. That was good for the issue over here. Is he a Talmud Chacham? So therefore, the Ben Yoyada says the better Girsa here is Azariah. Azariah bar Berei, the grandson of the Rabbi Avtulus, the who, Rabbi Avtulus, Asir the Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. He is a 10th generation. He has Yichus from Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. And who is Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah? He is, as we find in the Gemara in Brachas, when Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was chosen to be the Nasi in the story there with Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, so Rav Lazar ben Azariah, the who, as Rashi says, he, Rav Lazar ben Azariah, is Asirul Ezra. He is 10 generations from Ezra. Koy above, he's standing by the door. Omar, so Rav Prade, when he heard this, said, Michael Hi, what's this whole yichus you're giving me? You're telling me that Rav Tullis is 10th generation Rav Lazar ben Azariah, and Rav Lazar ben Azariah is a 10th generation from Ezra. What's the emphasis on Yichus? E bar Uryan, who? Bar Uryan means, Rashi says, if he is a Talmud Chacham in his own right, if he's a Ben Torah, so Yoi, That's good that he learned by himself and he became a ben Torah. Ibar uyan ubar avin, if he's a ben Torah and he also has yichus, so yoy, that's also good. Or as the Masar Shashas has the girsa yoy viyoy, it would seem according to the girsa of the Masar Shashas that if he has yichus and he also is a Talmud Chacham in his own right, then he's better than someone who's a Talmud Chacham without yichus. There's the famous vort that yichus is a bunch of zeros, and it is, only has value when you put yourself in front of the yichus. You have six zeros, they're meaningless, zero. You put one in front, you have a million. So if a person has yichus atzmoi, he himself developed himself, then together with his yichus, he can achieve greatness. So according to this girsa, he was saying that if he has both miles, good. But v'i bar avon, but if he has only yichus, v'loi bar uryan, he's not a ben Torah, he's just a bunch of zeros because he has yichus from previous generations. So eisha tuchle, let a fire consume him. Or the Marshal brings down a girsa that ime, his mother, tichle. In other words, that she should have miscarried him when he was born. So first of all, it appeared to me that we see here that Rav Preda is very sharp. He's trying to say yichus by itself is no godless. And the main thing is that a person is a ben Torah in his own right. And he's speaking very sharply. He looks like a person who doesn't have patience for someone who didn't develop himself into a Talmud Chacham. And we have to look at this Gemara, it would appear to me, with the famous Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, Rav Preda Havli Ahu Talmida, he had a Talmud, the Havetanale Arba Mezin, he taught him 400 times the same Gemara, Vigomer, finally he got it. He had the patience to teach his Talmud 400 times. Yoy Mechad, one day, Buyi L'Milsa the Mitzvah. Rav Preda had to go to do a Dvar Mitzvah, Tanale, so he was teaching the same Talmud, who apparently was not a very smart Talmud, v'loy gomer, he didn't get it even after 400 times. Omer lei, so Rav Preda said to him, idna maishna, why is today different than the other day, that after 400 times you don't get what we're learning? Omer lei, midahi shaitad, omer lei lamar, ikka milsin a mitzvah, eschoy ledatoy. When I heard that the Rebbe has to leave to go do a mitzvah, I was masiach das, I couldn't concentrate. V'chol shaita mina hashta koimar, hashta koimar. Every minute I thought, oh, maybe the master is going to be leaving at this moment, and therefore I couldn't concentrate. So amalei, hav daitach, concentrate now, v'asnilach, and I'll teach it to you. Hoder tonalei, dalid meya zivnechrini. He taught him another 400 times, a total of 800 times the same limud, and finally he got it. Nafka Baskola Baskol came out and said, "V'amarle nichalech de lisvulach dal meishni. Do you want 400 extra years to your life, or the tiske at udarach la'amad asir? You and your generation will get olam abo. Omar the nisva novedar la'amad asir. I want for my generation myself olam abo. Omar lahen hakadosh baruch hu tnu lai zu v'zu. Give him both things." It seems from this Gemara that Rav Preda lived an additional 400 years, and of course he got Olam Haba. So we see from the Gemara in Erevin that he had tremendous patience. He could teach the same Talmud, if necessary, 800 times. And yet over here, he has very little patience. He's very sharp with not knowing that if Azariah is a Talmud Chacham or not. He says if he's not a Talmud Chacham, then the fire should consume him. His mother should have miscarried. So it from this we see that it would appear that it's not that Rav Preda by nature was a very was a person who nothing fazed him. We see his immediate reaction to a non-Talmud Chacham is very sharp. But if somebody wants to put the work in, then Rav Preda will go to the end of the earth. He will teach him 400, he'll teach him 800 times if necessary. But the person has to be willing to put in the effort. The Sefer Hagois Einei Shmuel points out that if we have the girsa here, not yoy v'yoy, that if he has yichus and he's a Talmud Chacham, he has both milas, it's good and good, but we just have yoy. So it comes out, explains the Eine Shmuel, that there's a mila to a person who has is a Talmud Chacham without a Yichus, and there's a mila, doesn't say it's better according to the way we have the Girsa, not according to the Masar Shas. It's not better, but there's a mila of a person has Yichus, and he's a Talmud Chacham. The mila of a Talmud Chacham without Yichus is that he was able to, through his own Yigia, Yagata Matzasa, he was able to make himself into a Talmud Chacham without having Yichus. The mila of a person who has a Yichus and he's a Talmud Chacham is that through the Yichus, once he has all the zeros and he puts the one ahead, as we explained before, he becomes a millionaire, he can reach Madregas that it would seem the other Talmud Chacham wouldn't be able to. He doesn't, the Einei Shmuel says he doesn't have to eat up his own schus, he can give his schus over to his children. Each one has a mila, but it could be, the Einei Shmuel says, that if you compare one to the other, the one who did even less than the other, because he didn't have Yichus, but he did it all with his own initiative, through his own Yigi, his own Horavanya, he perhaps could be even on a bigger Madrega than the other one. If you're not Goyrus Yoi V'Yoi. So now what happened was, after this whole incident, Chazia Dikhave Chira Date. So he saw that he was like unsettled, he was upset. Who saw? So Rashi says that Rab Preda saw that Rab Ezra was unsettled, he was in anguish. And Rabbeinu Gershom says just the opposite. Rabbeinu Gershom says he saw the Rab Preda, the boy Rab Ezra li suve daite. Rab Ezra was trying to appease and calm down Rav Preda. The Rav Preda was upset. There's a machloikus over here between Rabbi Yenigesh and Rashi, who saw that the other was upset. So Pasach v'Omar, so he opened up and he said, let us go with Rashi Shita, that Rav Preda saw that what he had said to Rav Ezra made him upset, because he was telling him, your yichas is not important. The most important thing is what you did yourself. So he brought him a pasuk, and the Einei Shmuel says that this agadita, it's not just that agadita calmed him down, as it might appear from Rashi. Pasuk ba'agadita le-michveve. It would seem that this particular agadita calmed him down, because since the tsar of Azariah or of Ezra was that Rav Preda was knocking his yichus, so now Rav Preda, to make it up, since he saw how bad he felt, he showed him that you see from the next piece of Agadita that at times yichus is important, and we have to go back to the Ovis Tavrom Yitzhov Yaakov. Pasuk v'Omar, he told him the following pasuk in Tehillim. Omar Lashem, you spoke to Hashem and you said, Hashem Atov, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Toivasi Balalecha. The Pashup Shad is, I owe you nothing. And the Shail is, how could David HaMelech not express a course of Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So therefore, the Mephoshim explained, what he meant is, Toivasi Balalecha. You're not Mechuyif to have done Torah to me, Hashem. And still you did it. I forcared. I owe you a tremendous debt of a course of Torah. However, Rav Preda is now going to explain this pasuk in a Jewish fashion, and this will comfort Rav Ezra or Azariah. Amra Knesset Yisrael v'Nekadosh Baruch Hu. Knesset Yisrael said in front of Hashem, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hachzik Li Toiva, give me, you owe me one. Give me good. Shoyidiaticha Bo'olam, I spread your name in the world. Amar La, on that Hashem said, Toivasi Baal Olecha. I'm not machzik toivah to you, ani machzik toivah, elol Avram Yitzhav Yaakov, to your yichas, to Avram Yitzhav Yaakov, that's why I'm machzik toivah to, why? Shahidi uni tchila bo'elam, that they made me known, Avram is the first one to bring monotheism into the world, brought it and introduced it to the entire world, shenemar, as the next pasuk there in Tehillim tells us, in Perek Tazayin pasuk Gimel, the pasuk says, after the pasuk of Amart Lashem Hashem Ato Toivasi Balalecha, it says, L'Kedoshim Hashem Boretz Hema. You know why I give the Hakorsa Toivah to the Kedoshim who are interred already in the ground? They're dead. Va'adire, and the mighty, kol chefzi bom, as Rabbeinu Gershom explains, kolaymer kol cheskas tevasi bomi, you know, to whom I'm machzik taiva, that's Avram, Yitzhak, V'yakar. Now, kivin the shamites, when Ezra, Rav Ezra heard the Ka'amar that Rav Preda said the word adir, va'adiri kol chefzi bom, he said an enigmatic statement which has to be explained. Pasach v'yomar, yavoi adir, let the mighty one come, v'yifrul adir, let him pay on behalf of the mighty ones, may adir from the mighty ones, be adir with the mighty ones. What does that mean? It means as follows. Yavoi adir zeh kadosh baruch hu, dichsev adir b'amor Hashem. Hashem is referred to as an adir in the heights, the celestial heights. The Yifra, and he should pay on behalf le'adirim elu Yisrael shenemer va'adirei kol chefzei bom. And we're learning now the pasuk is going on Klal Yisrael. Me'adirim, who should he take revenge from at the time of Yitzis Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsov? He should take it from elu Mitzrayim. These are the mighty Mitzrayim. Dichsiv. And now he's going to learn a pasuk different than we would think the pshat in the pasuk is. Solu keiferes b'mayim adirim. We think the word adirim is going on mayim. And the way he's learning it, no. They went down like lead in the yam. Who went down? The adirim went down. That is the mitzrim. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Nun Dal Sivkot Nvav says that when we say this pasuk, we have to make a slight hefsik between the word mayim and adirim, because adirim is not explaining the word mayim. It's explaining the mitzrim. And how did Hashem take revenge of the mighty ones? Be'adirim. Using elu mayim, this is the water of the yamsuf that is called adirim. Shenemar mikoylois mayim rabim. It was louder than the roars of the many waters. Adirim mishbrei yam. The waves of the yam, it was mightier than the waves of the yam. So we see that the Yam, it's referred to as being mighty as well, and therefore Hashem took Nekama of these mighty Mitzrim from the mighty waters of the Yamsuf. And then he said another enigmatic statement, which we have to explain. Yavi Yedid, let the friend come. Ben Yedid, the son of a friend. V'yivne Yedid, and let him build something beloved. Li Yedid, for a Yedid. B'chelko shal Yedid, in the chelik of a Yedid. V'yishapur bo Yedidim, and through that, the Yedidim, the beloved ones, will get kapora. What does that refer to? Yavi Yedid zeh shloim ha-melech. D'chsev, v'yishlach b'yad nasan ha-nov, v'yikishma Yedidjo, v'avur Hashem. That even though David had called him Shloima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent in the hands of Nasan HaNavi a message that Hashem wants him that he should be called Yedid Yod, the friend of Hashem. So this is Shloima. Who is Shloima and a descendant of, as we turn to the Nun Gimel on the base, Ben Yedid Ze Avram, Dichsiv, because the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Mal Yedidi Bebesi, what's my Yedid doing in my house? Even though the Pashas of the Pasuk is going on Yirmiyah, but we're going to learn, as we'll see further in the Amid, in the middle of the Amid, that this Pasuk refers to Avram Avinu. He's called a Yedid, V'yivne Yedid, and he'll, Shloimeh, the descendant of Avram, will build a Yedid, Zeh Beis HaMikdash, Tchsev, Ma Yedid is Mishkanei Secha, how beloved are your dwellings. Li Yedid, he'll build it for a Yedid, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tchsev, Ashir Anol Yedidi. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a Yedid, and where is it built? B'chalko shal Yedid Zeh Bin Yamin, that's the Chalik of Bin Yamin, Shnemer, Le Bin Yamin Amar Yedid Hashem, Yishkan Levetach Olav. That to Binyamin, he said that he's considered a Yedid of Hashem and that his dwelling will be secure. The Yischapru bo Yedidim, the Yedidim will be forgiven. Elu Yisrael, this refers to Yisrael. Dechsev nasati es Yedidus nafshi bekaf oiveha. My beloved, my dear friends, what did I do with them, says Hashem? I gave them over into the palms of the enemy. Now he said a third enigmatic statement. Yavai Toiv. Let the good one come, the Yikabel Toiv, let him accept good. Mitoiv, from good, Litoivim, for the good. What does this refer to? Yavei Toiv Zeh Moshe, Dichsiv, Vateiroi Seki Toiv Hu, she saw that he was good. The Yikabel Toiv, what should Moshe receive? Zu Toiv, Dichsiv, Kilekach Toiv Nasati Lachem, I gave you a good merchandise. And who should he get the Toiv from? Mitoiv Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichsiv, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. And who should he bring the Toiv down from Hashem? For whom Litoivim Eli Yisrael, Dichsiv, Hey Tiv Hashem Litoivim, Hashem is good, to the good ones. Then he did a fourth one. Yavoyze, let him come. Yikabozois, let him accept this. Mize la'amzu. Yavoyze ze moish. Dechsev ki ze moish ish. Vyikabozois zu atayra. Dechsev vizois atayra shesam moisha. Mize, he should get the Torah. Moshe should get the Torah from the Zeh. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zeh Keli Vaveyu. Klal Yisrael saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, this is our God and we will glorify him. And he should get the Torah, La'amzu, for this nation, Eil Yisrael Shenemer, Amzu Kanisa, this nation you inherited, you acquired this nation. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. And here we find that Avram is referred to as Yedid. B'shar shecharv beis hamikdash, when the beis hamikdash was charved, matzah kadosh baruch hu l'Avram, Hashem found Avram, shar yo'im beis hamikdash, he was standing in the beis hamikdash. Amar lo'i, Hashem said to Avram, mal yedid b'beisi. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu referring to Avram, what's my Yedid doing in my house? Amar lo'i, al iske bonai basi, I came because of the matters dealing with my children. Amar lo'i, so Hashem said to Avram, banecha chatu v'golu, they sinned and they went into exile. Amar loy, Avram said to Hashem, Shem b'shagin chatu, maybe they did a sin b'shagin. Amar loy, Hashem answered, Asaisa hamezimasa, that is a continuation of the pasuk in Yirmiyah, where it says, Mal yedida b'beisi, the next words are, Asaisa hamezimasa, as Rashi explains, Kol ma'asein b'meizah b'kavana. They didn't do it b'shagin, they did it with premeditated intention. Amar loy, Avram said to Hashem, Shem b'miyutin chatu, maybe it's only a minority that's in. Amar lo Hashem answered, Harabim, no, it's the majority, and that's the next word in that pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Hoyolach liska bris mila, so why didn't you Hashem, Avram says to Hashem, remember the zechus that they have of bris mila? Amar lo Hashem answered, no, the next words of the pasuk, ubasir kaidish yavru mi'alecha, either they didn't do a bris mila, or they took the foreskin and they covered up the bris mila. Now, the Marsha points out, it should have said, Yavru me aleihem. What does it say? Me alecha. So Avram was saying to Hashem, why didn't you remember the schus of my first mitzvah, which was Mila? Why didn't that help for my children? So Hashem answered, because your children made a hefsek. They stopped doing bris Mila themselves. So your schus couldn't, of Mila, couldn't work for them anymore. Omar loi said Avram to Hashem, Shema im him tanta. If you had waited lahem, hayuchayzer b'tshuva, they would have come back. You destroyed the base mission, put them into Gauls too quickly. Amar lo Hashem answered, Kirasechi oz taloizi. When they did bad, that's when they rejoiced. As time went on, they did not come back in tshuva, but they rejoiced in doing bad. Miyad, when Avram heard that, immediately he niach yarav al-roish, he put his hands on his head, vayetzayek, he was screaming, uboich and crying, v'amar lo, he said to Hashem, Shema chas v'sholem elam takana. Is it possible that there is no remedy for my children, the Bnei Yisrael? Yatz Abaskol v'Amraloi. Abaskol came out of heaven and said to him the following pasuk, which is found in that same Perik Yud Aleph in Yirmiyah. The next pasuk Tezayin, following the pasuk of Ma Yedidi. The pasuk says, Zeis Ran and Yefei Pritoyer, a leafy olive tree which has fruit which is very shapely, Kor Hashem Shimcha, Hashem called your name. In other words, Klal Yisrael is compared to a olive tree. Ma Zayizu Achrisa B'Saifoi. Just like this olive tree, there's two pshatim. Either it means that we plant it now, but the fruits come out much later, or that it is different than other trees where you have different seasons when the fruits on the same tree are ripe. By an olive tree, it all happens at the end. So, af Yisrael achrisa b'saifon. Their end, they will come to their fulfillment at their end. In other words, Mashiach will come at the end. The Marsha explains, when, as we find the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hashem is maimed upon them a melech that is kosher kahaman, and they'll see they have no way out except to do tshuva, they'll do tshuva, and at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem them through Mashiach. And then we have, at the end of that pasuk of Zeis Ranan, the pasuk continues and says, "Lekoil hamula gedoyla," to the sound of the great commotion, hits his ash, he set fire, olea on it, v'ro dal yosef, and the branches became broken. What is this end of the pasuk referred to. Amar Rab Chanina Bar Papa Lekoil Milein Shal Meraglim. The words of the Meraglim Nisroy Au Dal Yosein Shal Yisrael. The branches of the Jews. Rashi says Nishbar Goin Uzam. The splendor of their strength became broken. It crashed down. The Amar Rab Chanina Bar Papa Davar Gadol Dibur Meraglim Vayishah. The Meraglim said a very strong, sharp word at the time when they came back from being Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. They said, Ki chazaku mimenu. They are stronger, the Kananim are stronger, the simple pshat is, than we are. So Rav Chanina Bar Papa says, no, al tikri mimenu we, ela mimenu he. Mimenu can also mean he. What does it mean, kaviyachal? It is, as it were, Shafilu Baal Abayis, as Rashi says, which refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eina Yochel Lohaitzi Kalev Misham. He won't be able to take out his vessels from there. In other words, they are stronger even than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. They said such apikursas. And because of that, their branches are broken, their splendor of their strength became broken. If that is the pshat in the pasuk, Haile Koila Mula. Why do you use the word Amula? Gedoyla, it should have said, Lekoil Mila Miboyle, their word, if that's what is referring to the word of the Meraglim. Ella, Amr LaKadosh Baruch Avram, there's a whole different shot in the Pasuk of Zeisran and the end of the Pasuk. Hashem said Avram, Kol Choshamati, I heard your voice, Vechamalti Aleim, because as we learned before, a hey and a ches are Nischalif. So instead of it being Hamula, take that same word and from the hey, make a ches, chamula, chamalti. Because of the pleas of Avram Avinu, I have had rachmanis on the Bnei Yisrael. Why? Ani amarti, I said she tovdu ba'arba malchias, kol achas v'achas, kishir arba malchias. I yishtabdu. I said that they should get a shibud by each of the arba malchias. We have the malchus of Bavel and the Malchus of Porasumare, the Malchus Yavin, the Malchus Edom. So originally, by the Brisbane of Sorim, they were all supposed to have a certain small amount of years, and then would come Golas Edom, would be the longest. But right before the Churban Bayis region, because of the terrible Averis of Klal Yisrael, I changed it. And I said, Sheyishtabdu ba'arba malchis, kolachas va'achas kishir arba malchis. Now, whatever today is the shear, the amount of years for collectively of the four malchias together, that's what Klal Yisrael should suffer individually to Bavel, and then to Parasimorai, and then to Yavin, and then to Edom. But Hashta, because of the pleas of Avraham Avinu, I had Chamalti, I had Rachmanes, Kol Chad V'Chad Amayda Pasuk Law. So I'm going to go back to what I said at Bris Ben Absarim, each one according to the first three were smaller amounts of time, and the last one, that's the long one of Golas Adam. Vekidi Amri, some say, Ani Amayti B'Zechazeh, I said that these four should happen one after the other. Achshav B'Vas Achas, now they're going to happen all concurrently at the same time. So number four, Hashem asked, but historically that's not true, because the four Golias of the four Malchias of Bavel, Porasumara, and Yavin and Edom happened one after the other. So the answer is that this is related to the first pshat here, that Hashem at one point wanted them to suffer the total amount of years of all four Malchias of present. That's what they should have to suffer at the hands of each one. So Hashem changed that, and he made the first three to be shorter. That's Bavel, and then Porasumadai, and then Yavin. The only long one is Edom. And what he did in Edom is that Edom, instead of Edom being added on to all the other three, and that all four should have the length of the present day, all four, instead, he made Edom separate, this long period, and Edom would be a collection of Bavel, Parsumada, Yavin, together with Edom during this long period. But there would not be a long period individually for each one of the four. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Lama Nimshal Yisrael Lazayis. Why do we find that Klal Yisrael is compared to an olive? Loimalach ma zayis ein olav neishir ein olav neishir and loimim moisek sham. The leaves do not fall off, not in the summer, not in the winter. Af Yisrael ein lam b'teilu olamis. They will never become destroyed. Loi b'olam hazeh v'loi b'olam haba. They are the eternal people. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan loim nimshal Yisrael zayis loimalach. Just like oil does not come out of an olive only through crushing, they only come back to good. As we mentioned before, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be minded a king as evil as Haman to bring them back to tshuva. Now that we've finished the Agadata, we go back to the Machlokes Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda that we had in our Mishnah. Rav Meir Omer Hasar Boidel Had Mitoichan Umachmitzan. Rav Meir Shita is that he takes the Seor from the Isorin and he kneads it with water and then he puts it back into the Isorin. It's the same amount Isorin and now it's Mechametz. Rabbi Yehuda didn't like that because it won't do a good job. Rabbi Yehuda says that you take real sourdough that you know has become sourdough and around that you build up more Kemach. So now you have the Shear of Isorin and it's Mechametz very well. On that, the Chachamim who sided with the Rav Meir argued with Rabbi Yehuda and said that you're going to have either too much flour or too little flour. And now the Gemara is going to explain that. My Chaseir Yaseir, Amr Rav Chisda, and we take out the sheet that says the word Isas, Hasor Ava Nimtzas Yaseir. If there is little water, so the Sor is very thick, the density is thick. So what happens is that the original flour that made up the soil shrinks. And now, in order to make up the size of an isorin, you're going to have to add more flour, nimtzas yisera. The total amount of flour that you have here is now more than an isorin. Because since it shrunk, since only a little water was used, and if it was very dense, so in totality, you have more than an isorin. So nimtzas yisera midas isorin. What about raka? If you have a lot of water and it puffs up a lot, so you in this puffing up, you have very little flour. So now if you have an isorin, you don't really have an isorin because it puffed up more than the space that the regular flour would have taken. So you have less flour than you should have in that area. Raka nimtzas chasera. So the isor will be missing. So the Gemara asks the question, soif soif ki kochayel asorin kochayel. What's the difference? The bottom line, the way Rabbi Yehuda did it, you start off with the sourdough, you build around it the other kemach, the end, you measure the water, the kemach, the sourdough, you put it all together, you wind up with an isorin. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. What's your problem? So Rab of Rabbi Yosef, Damer Tavayu, no, l'kamoy shehein haitza misharina. They measured it before the water is put in, before the sourdough, just the kemach itself. That has to be an isorin. And therefore, if you're going to use a sourdough that doesn't come from the original isorin, you're going to, because it has a different consistency than the original isorin, you're going to have either too much flour or too little flour. So that's the problem. But what is Rabbi Yehuda's sheet? The Rabbi Yehuda holds Takya, like the Gemara, not like Rabbi Yosef answered. He holds like what the Gemara said, soif, soif. We look at the end. We don't look at the flour before you put in the water. We look at the end result. Do I have any sorin here according to the way Rabbi Yehuda measured it? That's fine. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Ask the Gemara, which we spoke out when we learned the Mishnah, velishkal purta minei. Why do you have this whole machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Why isn't everybody, I'll give you a certain eitzah which everyone could agree to and there'll be no problems. We have an issue that you have to have an exact isorin. We have an issue that the chametz has to do its job 100% correctly. So I have a very good eitzah. Lishko purtmine. Take a little bit of dough, a little bit of flour from the isorin. Vilachamtse mi broi. And make it into chametz outside. As Rashi here, we quoted the Rashi in the Mishnah. We quoted this Rashi here. Is go outside to a place which is hot, or yitmenu be'isim mechumetzes, or put it into a dough that is for sure 100% leaven, that's chametz, and that will cause this part of the sorin achis chametz yafa, it'll become total chametz, v'neder v'nilshe b'mekayim v'mishra, then you'll mix it together with the rest of the sorin. So what have you gained? You've gained that the chametz that you're creating now, the sourdough that you're creating now, has the same consistency of water and flour as the original Isoran, because it's coming from that Isoran. You've also accomplished that you're not putting it right back, as our mayor suggests. You take it out, and you knead it with water, and you put it right back. Rabbi Yehuda says it didn't have enough time itself to become chametz. No, I make sure it does have enough time. It goes to an area where it's for sure going to become in a hot place, or in a dough that's for sure chametz, and I'm going to make sure 100% this is real chametz, and then I'll put it back in. So I have the right amount, I have the right leavening agent. Why doesn't Remain Rav Yehuda both agree to this? The answer is v'leisev in ilusha b'day, and then we should bring it back and mix it all together and knead it, and then I'll have all my problems solved. The answer is gzeira dilma asili suyim alma, because somebody who's watching you will see you bringing in a sourdough. He doesn't realize that it's from the original Isarin. He'll think it's from outside. And he'll think whenever you want to be mechametz the Isarin, you bring a sourdough from the outside, and then you'll be adding to the shear of the Isarin. He'll think it's mutter. So that we're not allowed to do. So therefore, Rav Meir has his Eitza with his problems, Rabbi Yehuda has his Eitza with his problems, and therefore we have the two shittas of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which are listed in our Mishnah.